From the Maize and Right Media Center, it's Straight Talk with DJ Hilson, your Muskegon County prosecutor. Straight Talk with DJ Hilson, an in-depth discussion on issues that affect you and your community. Sparking conversation, opening dialogue, and breaking down barriers. Have a question about crime prevention, subpoenas, silent observer, or about the law? Call 231-722-8338. It's Straight Talk. Straight Talk. Straight Talk. With DJ Hilson. DJ Hilson.
DJ Hilson. Hey, good afternoon, Muskegon. DJ Hilson here live in the studio.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, it's great to be here. And, you know, so I got to tell you, I as I normally do, I get here early. I'm standing outside. It's not winter, so I'm all right standing outside today because, you know, even though it's overcast, it's a little, but it's warm out. So I'm all right. I'm knocking on the door. Nobody's answering. I don't see any familiar cars in the parking lot. And I'm just getting ready to call my good buddy, Big Rob, and say, hey, did you guys forget about me again? And I got a phone call from somebody else I had to take. And so, as I typically do, I'm pacing back and forth. And thankfully, I was pacing in the opposite direction because out of the corner of my eye, I see this flash of black. Zip, you know, the stone. I mean, I'm still brushing stones out of my clothes because of the spray and the dust. And, you know, I've never seen. Look, you folks that know Big Rob know why they call him Big Rob. And I've never seen him move so fast. The door flies open. I don't think the car even put in park. Door flies open. He's jumping as his poor son, I think, is grabbing the steering wheel so he doesn't crash it into the building itself. And I got a minute. It's not 5 o'clock yet. I got a minute. It's not 5 o'clock yet.
He even told the 5 minute part.
It's not 5 o'clock yet. I got a minute.
Yeah. It was a rough day.
It was a spectacular display of dedication. I just want that wasn't making fun. That was just showing you, Muskegon, the dedication that Big Rob has
to DJ show.
Right. We want to make sure that this show is, you know, on top notch. Say it ain't so.
Ready to go.
Ready to go.
How you been, DJ?
Been good. Been real good.
You know we're going to have to sometime during this conversation.
Absolutely. Okay. I want to give you your props. Because I got to tell you, my wife, I think I've told you, she is a diehard Lions fan. In fact, she was disappointed because for her, it was her birthday last year, I bought her a Lions shirt because, you know, she wanted something with the Lions on it. So I bought her a shirt. She was disappointed she forgot to put it on Sunday. And maybe that's a sign that she shouldn't ever wear it again.
Does she have a jersey, a Lions jersey?
No, she doesn't have a jersey. She's got it's like a black T-shirt. It says Lions on it. It's got the lion, you know,
the lion in the front.
Yeah, lion in the front.
We're going to have to get her a Lions jersey.
So, yeah.
In the Hilson household. You can't fight her.
It would be, well, I can't. It'd be the only one in the house, but I can't fight her.
Yeah, we're going to have to get Miss Hilson a Lions jersey.
Yeah.
You know, do you know her favorite player on the Lions?
I don't even know if she knows who her favorite player is on the Lions.
She just likes the Lions.
She just likes the Lions.
So any number would be all right with her.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I mean,
because you and your parents got me a cheesehead.
Yeah.
So and my cheesehead is still in there.
Oh, yeah.
I put it on every now and then because everybody come in. What you doing with a cheesehead?
Yeah, well, listen, I mean, you know, and that came from the promised land. I mean, that's straight from cheese land itself.
And your Packers did good, too.
They did.
They had you on the edge of the seat, too.
They did. Yeah, I was a little nervous towards the end there, but it all panned out for the good.
But we will be talking about sports today.
Yeah, we'll get.
We'll get to our little sports conversation.
We'll get there.
So how's things going down at the county building and in the prosecutor's world?
You know, things are going pretty well. You know, we're Yeah, you know, it almost sounds like every time I'm on the radio, I say the same thing. But you know, it's going well. You know, we stay busy just because, you know, we're a busy office. But you know, for the most part, it's a good busy. I mean, it's you know, doing the day to day stuff, and we don't have anything super critical on the hot seat right now, and you know, I mean, it's just a good atmosphere. So
okay, now we talked about it after the press conference of the police involved shooting.
Yeah.
And I don't think, have you been on since?
I have
then?
Not.
Okay, can you explain to your listening mm-hmm. audience what made you? I already know you explained it to us. Mm-hmm. I understand it fully. Can you explain to people what made you come to that decision?
Sure.
That you came to?
Sure.
Is it okay to talk about?
Oh, absolutely.
I know it's an active
yeah,
case.
No. I mean, the officer involved shooting part of that investigation is over. Obviously, we're still dealing with the young woman in juvenile court. But you know, I'm happy to talk about it. I mean, it. You know, obviously. These are the types of decisions and things that, you know, you never want to have to work on and decide.
Right.
But, you know, it is what it is. And
absolutely.
You know, I was really happy with how we, not only how we, well, how we put it together, but how we presented it.
Absolutely.
And because from the get-go, when I was made aware of the circumstances surrounding when it first happened, my first comment to the state police, who had then taken over the investigation, was, no matter what, we're going to be very transparent about this. We are going to make sure that we provide not only to the media, but so the media can provide to the public everything. So it's all out in the open. So there's no perception that we're trying to hide anything. Because whether good, bad, or indifferent, we're never going to hide anything. It is what
Absolutely.
It is. I mean, I can't change what the facts are. I just have to look at them and determine how it fits within the legal parameters that I have to work with. And so this was no different. I mean, we were fortunate in the sense that we had two very critical pieces of evidence that helped formulate my decision. One, the 911 call. Which you were able to hear.
Yes, absolutely.
And two, the fact that the officer parked his cruiser in a way where his cruiser camera, his dashboard cam, was pointed in the absolute vicinity where everything happened.
He didn't know they were going to come running past him like
that. He had no idea. I mean,
he had no idea.
It was just you know, luck in a sense. And so when you look at how it all transpired, where the young woman calls 911 and is upset because the young man involved had taken some clothes, or there was some shenanigans involving clothes, and
yep.
ultimately we learned that there was some dispute over a computer. And so she calls 911 on that, and there you can hear in that initial phone call some arguing back and forth, some yelling and screaming back and forth, and the phone goes dead. Well, the protocol for dispatch is that you don't just say, okay, I'm going on to the next call. If there's something active going on, you call back. And that's exactly what the dispatcher did. So the next call you get is the dispatcher calling back into the house at the number they had when the first call came in. And the next voice you hear is a young man who at that point in time had already barricaded himself in a bathroom. And he's telling the dispatcher that. And you can actually hear the banging on the door. And
Absolutely.
He describes to the dispatcher that not only has he barricaded himself in this bathroom, but he describes this young woman as grabbing a knife.
Mm-hmm.
And at one point in time, even says he was cut by that knife.
On the arm.
And so as this is happening and the dispatcher is saying, stay inside, don't move. And he says, look, the officers could come inside the house. I'm giving you them permission to come inside the house. And the dispatcher consistently is saying, don't move. They're on their way. And as you know, Big Rob, if folks don't understand, the way the central dispatch works is you've got a call taker.
Mm-hmm.
When you call 911, you get, you know, 911, where's your emergency? So you got that call taker. And when it's a true emergency situation, that call taker is taking the information. And down the row is a dispatcher. And that call taker is relaying to the dispatcher location, situation, you know, all the information that that dispatcher, who is not a part of the phone call,
right,
is then relaying it to the officers.
Right.
So you got two people working on one incident. And absolutely, that's true. And every time you call 911, that's true. You get, mm-hmm, that's what's happening. And so we were able to show some community members and then the media that distinction. We played, right, the call taker part, and then, absolutely, we played the dispatcher part, so you can hear the communication between the officers. And so the officers are being told about, you know, the ages and the situation and the fact there's a weapon involved and so on, and description of, you know, who they need to, and the fact that, hey, listen, you've been given permission to walk inside the house. And so you have all that happening. And then what you hear also in the 911 call is that at some point in time towards the end of the incident, or just before the end of the incident, the young man takes himself out of the bathroom, and now he's out.
He climbed through a window, I believe it was.
Yeah, he's out in the open, and basically says, "I'm out now." And, you know, obviously that's not where the dispatcher wanted him to be. He wanted, yeah, to stay where you're safe, essentially. Yeah. And then ultimately, you know, it all unfolds. And so you have that background on top of, you know, the cruiser video where you see the officer pulling in, parks the cruiser, he gets out, and as you saw, and as I think was shown, hopefully the media showed it because we gave him copies,
yeah,
of it.
Yeah.
You see him walking. He's not rushing to the scene. No. He doesn't have any weapons pulled at all. No. He's just walking to take a complaint.
To me, it looked like he was waiting for backup before he actually went, right, inside the house, you know.
Yeah.
But then it looked like he was nonchalant about it, like, you know, okay, if something's going on, I'm gonna take care of, yep, it, but I'm not gonna, you know, rush in and stuff. And he wasn't like he was going in there with a gun, even though he knew there was a young lady with a knife, young man was cut. And in that 911 call, the young man stated he was cut on the neck,
yeah,
also. And I'm saying that part of it, but we played the 911 call in its entirety.
Okay.
The only thing we did was take out the names of the two,
right,
children.
Yeah, because that's what we'd asked.
That's what you guys asked us to do. We played both 911 calls, and we set it up. This is the dispatcher, mm-hmm, and this is the call taker.
Okay.
Okay, and we played in its entirety. If you did not hear it, you can contact PA at 231-727-5007, leave a message, and he will play it again, or, yeah, he'll play it again on here. We're not going to give you a copy of it, but unless you take the deleted copy, you know, you're not getting the full copy. But he'll play it again for you if you, you know, have any discrepancies. But I think the officer, you know, and I'm hard on everybody,
mm-hmm,
you know, good, bad, or indifferent. That officer didn't look like he was rushing in there to kill nobody.
No, and that's not, you know, there are certain situations where, you know, you use different tactics, and that wasn't a situation. I mean, it's a volatile situation. There's no question about it, but it's not the type that rises to the level. Because certainly, if that were true, he wouldn't have walked in by himself.
No.
There would be, people would have positioned themselves differently. I mean, it was basically taking what he felt was a disturbance call, or even at the worst, a domestic violence type call.
And me, I think he felt like the little boy was somewhat safe because he was, what the dispatcher told him is, I can remember the call, you can correct me if I'm wrong, dispatcher told him the boy was in the bathroom,
yep,
locked in the bathroom, and other person was outside the bathroom. Okay. Now, I didn't hear, and I got to listen to it again. I think as the officer's exiting his car, I think that's when they said something about he was outside.
Yeah.
If they said that at all, I don't remember. But the officer was still walking nonchalantly,
right,
to the scene. You know, and I honestly, me personally, thinking in my head, that's my personal opinion. I can't speak for that officer. I don't know what he was thinking or whatever and stuff. But I think he was waiting on backup because you're dealing with juveniles.
Right.
One is cut. To me, I heard the little boy saying he got cut in the neck. And this was after he had got cut in the arm, as I can remember. He said he was cut on the, yep, arm and cut on the neck.
Yep.
But he was still talking to Central Dispatch.
Yep.
He climbed out the window. He said, I'm outside now.
Yeah. Well, and then as you watch on the cruiser video, the officer approaching the which would be the front door.
He still wasn't
spending. No.
Speeding, right?
No. I mean, he's just walking. And next thing you know, what he sees unfold in front of him is the young man being chased by the young woman. And she has two weapons. She's got a knife in one hand, and she ends up having like a barbecue tongs. You know, and that we're not talking about, I mean, you're talking about the spindly, you know, the sharp tongs in the other.
Yeah.
Chasing this young, and they are, it's not like a jog, they are full out running.
Yes.
And the officer had the presence of mind to say, whoa, drop it, and then immediately went for his service revolver and shot four times. And obviously the young girl goes down.
Yes.
And then, you know, he does, and he stops. It's not like he unloaded his weapon.
No.
He neutralized the threat, put his weapon away, and then
proceeded to give her help,
right,
and get medical on their way there.
Yeah,
and I mean, it was like so quick. It was, I didn't count it, and maybe I should look at it again and count it. I think it was a matter of 4 or 5 seconds.
Yeah,
but by the time, you know, he shot and put his weapon away and rendered aid to the young lady.
Yeah, no, I mean, you know, and again. As I indicated to the community folks that I talked to, and as I indicated to the media, officers don't put the uniform on going out looking to shoot somebody. The last thing they want to do is do that. I mean, that is like the last resort. But given the threat, the perceived threat, he did what he was trained to do.
Mm-hmm.
And more importantly, Michigan law allows for that. And it's not a special... There's not a special statute or jury instruction for police officers. It's called defense of others.
You explained that to us. Thank you for doing that.
You're
because
welcome.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. They're just like there's self-defense in Michigan,
right.
There's also defense of others. In fact, it's encapsulated or incorporated in the same statute, same jury instruction, where, you know, all you need is a reasonable belief that someone is going to be seriously injured or killed. Mm-hmm. And that's a big distinction between seriously injured and killed. I mean, that, you know, as much as, you know, you can be seriously injured and be almost near death, there are other situations where you could be seriously injured and, you know, not be near death. So as long as you have a reasonable belief that you're going to be seriously injured or killed, or you're perceiving that to happen, you have
to someone else,
yeah. You have the right to essentially use deadly force to self-defend or defend that third party. And it's true even if later on you are told or you recognize that maybe what you perceived to be the threat really wasn't a threat at all.
Mm-hmm.
It is a very protective statute for defending self-defense or defense of others. And it puts the burden on the prosecutor to prove that
beyond a reasonable doubt.
Right. That one, the person, whether it's police officer or civilian, they were completely out of whack when they decide, hey, look, I shot at that person because I thought that, you know, for instance, had they the two been running and there were no weapons involved, that's a different scenario.
Right.
As opposed to running with two weapons, because as I read the jury instruction to the media,
yes,
the jury has to take into account whether or not the person who was injured or killed had a dangerous weapon, was possessing a dangerous weapon, and that's a critical factor. And so when we look at the facts and the circumstances and the law that applies, you know, the decision was relatively straightforward that given everything that this officer had and what the officer saw, his actions were justified. It just like if it wasn't, let's say it wasn't a police officer. Let's say it was the young man's father or the young man's mother.
Right.
Same scenario. And they shoot, you know, they have lawful, if, as long as they're lawfully licensed to carry, and they see that, and they shot the little girl, same outcome. There would be no criminal charges. You know, again, it is, you know, and what I guess from my standpoint, what I really appreciate am thankful for a couple of things. One, that Muskegon County isn't like the nation.
Mm-hmm.
They waited to make sure they had every piece of information before there was any reaction. Two, I'm very thankful for many leaders in our community who made themselves available so that we could, again, be transparent and lay out for them everything that we laid out for you guys.
Yes.
And that speaks volumes of the kind of character that this community has. Because, look, I mean, it could have very well touched off a situation like we've seen across the nation.
Yeah,
very
absolutely.
Well could have.
Absolutely.
But I appreciate that everybody let the process happen. And we made sure that we moved as quickly and efficiently as we could in that process. And more importantly, that we were transparent.
Yeah. And I, you know, from the community standpoint, I want to thank you, DJ, and Michigan State Police and Muskegon Police Department for allowing the transparency to happen like you guys did. You guys only really requested one thing. These are kids.
Right.
We don't want their names out there.
Right.
That's really the only, and I'm telling you, you know, they explain to us. We can show the whole video. We can do the whole thing. Just get these kids' names out of it and faces, blur their faces.
Yep.
He said that's it because they're kids. That's the only restriction we had, and that's understandable. They do that in any case.
Yep.
Even if it's not a officer-involved shooting, if it's me and I shot somebody, they always keep the kids out,
right.
You know, faces and names out of the press and as much as they possibly can, as far as I can remember.
Yep.
I remember a kid that wasn't charged as an adult name being in the newspaper,
right.
You know, because we don't hear about the juveniles and the crime that they do. We hear about it, but until they're charged as an adult, we don't hear their name,
right.
Or see
right.
their faces,
right.
Or
absolutely.
Anything. Is that am
that's
I correct
true.
On
that's
that?
True. Yeah. No,
so,
we do everything we can to protect juveniles.
Right.
Because, you know, I mean, they're juveniles.
Right. And I want to thank you guys for being, you know, like you were. Very transparent. I mean, they sat around, too. I don't know if me and PA talked about it, but they sat around and was willing to stay there 2 or 3 hours answering press and leaders' questions.
Yep.
And there were some leaders who had more questions than others.
Yep.
And they were willing to answer them. You know, your prosecutor,
Tim Mott.
Is he a chief prosecutor?
He's my chief assistant. Yeah.
Chief assistant. He answered questions.
Yep.
The chief of police asked a question. You answered questions, and there wasn't no question that was off limits.
Nope.
None. So, I mean, you know, I want to thank y'all for doing that, you know, because y'all didn't have to do it because it was all there, but y'all did it. And I appreciate it. And I'm quite sure the community appreciates it.
Well, I hope so. I mean, you know, and as we had a chance to kind of sit back and reflect on, you know, how we handled the process and and what we did, we felt very comfortable in that kind of that timeline of what we did. And you know, I never want to have to do it again, quite honestly, but if the circumstances arise, we've got to do it again. I'm going to do it the exact same way,
right?
Because that was a model that really works,
right?
And again, it's, you know, it is going to be handling it the same way regardless of whether the outcome is you know, as it is,
right.
As it was,
yes.
Or if it's something different. Because again, facts are the facts.
Right.
Okay, I have no control over that. All I can do is take a look at what's in front of me, and the information, evidence that I have, and then apply the law. And that's why it's so critical in cases like this that people are honest.
Mm-hmm.
You know, ultimately, we had a situation where, you know, there are some folks that weren't honest at the beginning.
You're not lying about that.
And then they were corrected to their benefit, because, you know, at the end of the day, I've been pretty public with how I treat dishonest when it comes to major investigations.
Mm-hmm.
We're just not going to put up with it. And you're going to end up getting yourself in trouble if you are dishonest, because what we want is the truth. And again, I've always said this. I want the truth regardless of whether it's good or bad for me.
Right.
I just want the truth.
Right.
Because then I can make good decisions if I know that what I'm hearing and what I'm seeing is pretty close to what happened.
Right.
In whatever the situation is.
Right.
I just want the truth. And I'm going to keep drumming that beating that drum, I should say, until we get to the point where I know that when somebody's talking to me or talking to an investigator, they're telling the truth.
Right. And the one thing, too, I want to do, I do want to point out, and you can correct me where I'm wrong.
Sure.
He could have charged this young lady as an adult.
There's always that possibility.
Right.
Always that possibility.
And you didn't.
I didn't.
Okay. Can you explain to people? I know it's only so much of it you can say. Whatever, however you can explain it, can you explain to people why you didn't choose that route and why you're keeping it in the juvenile system?
Well, I mean, it's quite simple. I mean, it is apparent to me, and I said this. I don't know if I said this to the media, but I definitely said it to the community leaders that I am not a doctor, I am not an expert, but there is something else going on with this young lady, and the juvenile court is the arena to help best address that, because it is certainly the ability or the access to services and other programs is far greater in that arena than it is in the adult arena, and so it wasn't a hard decision to make at all, quite honestly, and it's not going to be a hard decision to eventually come to a resolution in that case. In fact, you know, I had telephone conversations with Fred Johnson, the public defender's office, and I said, look, Fred, I'm not looking to throw the book at this young woman.
Right.
What I want to see is us being able to help her.
Right.
And unfortunately, you know, it starts with a criminal charge, but, you know, that's not the final, that doesn't have to be the final resolution.
Right.
It's all about making sure that we do the best we can to help her.
Right.
You know, that's the bottom line. And so, you know, we'll work our way through the process, and hopefully we'll be able to hook her in with something, a service or a treatment option that will at least get to the root of what is going on. Because there's definitely something there. And again, I don't have the ability to diagnose anything.
Right.
But just looking at the behavior pattern over the last, would have been the last couple of weeks leading up to that, there's something going on.
Right. And you turned around, you know, and you could have went that direction, and you chose not to. And, you know, if ain't nobody else told you, I want to tell you, thank you for at least identifying that, you know, maybe she don't need to sit in prison, you know, for a lengthy amount of time around adult females.
Right.
You know, and dealing with that whole situation, because it could have went different directions, even though she is a juvenile and things like that.
So, yeah.
You know, I want to thank you for doing that, because you didn't have to. You could have just said, this is a crime. We got all the evidence right here. We're going to throw the book at you.
Nah,
but you didn't. You said, let's use another option.
Yeah. No, I mean, there are better ways. There's certainly.
You used another option. And that, to me, was amazing in itself. Because I remember the previous administration. No, you can't speak on this, but I can. Previous administration, in my opinion, before DJ Hilson took office, probably would have threw a couple of books at this young lady and gave all day and one dark Sunday if he could have. But DJ didn't do that. He saw that there was a problem, and I appreciate you doing that, because that could have been just as well my daughter. And sure. I didn't know she was acting out like this. But at least I know I got a prosecutor in place who will say, okay, we're not going to tolerate you acting out. We are going to punish you. But we're going to try to find you some help, too.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, that's what you did more so than anything. And I personally want to thank you for doing that also, you know, because you didn't have to. And I appreciate that.
Sure. My pleasure.
What else did I want to talk to you? Oh,
truancy.
I want to get some clarification.
Yeah, we're going to get.
I want to get a whole lot of clarification.
Well, you know, I want to help you, but more importantly, I want to make sure that I'm clear with your wife, because you know, I don't mind ruffling your feathers, but when it comes to the ladies, I don't like ruffling their feathers. I mean, I want to make sure that we're it's all good.
All
that
good.
We're all good. So yeah, no, I'm happy to. I'm happy to. You know, we don't have to get into specifics of your situation, but you know, obviously, you before we got on air, you had some concerns about truancy.
They told me you was the man,
and I was told that that or you were told, I should say, you were told that I was the responsible party. In some respects, you know, the truancy stuff that we've been doing over the last couple of school years. Yeah, I've been a spearhead of that. I haven't been the sole point.
You sure?
I'm pretty sure. Because there were a lot of people sitting in the room when we were putting this together. I was just one of them.
You sure you didn't say, this is going to happen in this county, and I'm out of here?
Well, no. I mean, I don't think I said it quite that strongly. I mean, I think I said that I think this is important. We need to get it done. But regardless, to address your concerns.
Yes, sir.
And every time I go and I talk to school administrators, I always make this point that they are the driver of the bus.
Okay.
No pun intended, but they know the parents and the students better than we do.
Right.
And so I want them to handle, be really the front line. You know, I only want to get referrals from the schools when they've exhausted everything that they can do and the child, the student is still missing school. Then we want to get involved.
Okay.
And so the school, I tell them this, they have great discretion because the way that it's set up is that when a student has five absences, the schools, the red flag should go up with the school, and the school then sits down and says, okay, let's look at these. What are these absences? Is it a sickness? Is it, you know, a early or extended vacation that the family already got permission for? Are those absences affecting the ability of this student's education? Are they, you know, are they hindering it? Is it a detriment? If the answer to that question is no, then that's where it stops. I mean, they may want to just put the parents on notice, hey, look, you know, just so you know. But that stops right there. If the answer to that question is yes, then the school's first response is for them to send a letter on their letterhead saying, hey, look, there's an issue here. We just want to sit down and talk about it. Mm-hmm. And the school takes care of it.
Okay.
After that, if the absences continue, then they can refer that student and parents to us. And then we fire off a letter on my letterhead saying, now we got a problem. All right? You got to come on down and talk to us about this. But it's, you know, as I tell teachers, and I tell people who have questions about this, we're not throwing hammers.
Right.
It's a problem solving thing.
Right.
Because, you know, I've always believed, and this is actually turned out to be somewhat true as we listen to the story, you know, when parents come in, they talk to us, and truancy is a symptom to a greater problem. It really is.
Absolutely.
You know, and so we want to do our best to try and figure out where the root is. What's going on?
Right.
And do we have access to resources to help fix that?
Okay.
And it's all about problem solving. It's not about charging. It's not about, you know, unfortunately, you know, I'd say we've had a couple of our recent truancy moms land in the paper because they just didn't get the program and they wound up in jail. Now, the most recent one decided not to show up for sentencing. Bad idea. Judges don't like that when you don't show. They don't like that when you don't show. So she kind of set herself up for where she ended up.
All right.
But regardless, I mean, it's all about problem solving. And so, you know, in the situation that you're talking about with your son, we've had a handful of unique circumstances where, whether it's a medical condition or something else.
Right.
Those are resolvable. I mean, I've personally sat in two meetings with administrators and parent and student on these issues and said, look, we obviously want the student to be educated.
Right.
So let's figure out how we're going to do that. Let's say, for example, that there's a medical reason that is going to keep them from school for an extended period of time. I mean, I understand the school's point of, hey, look, we want to just verify. And we, you know, we want to make sure that nobody's taking advantage of the system. Yeah, because there are some doctors out there that will write a note for Johnny or Susie at the drop of a hat without, you know, really understanding. We've had that situation.
Oh, wow.
So we want to make sure that, you know, everything is on the up and up. And for the most part, it is. I mean, you know, because I sympathize. I mean, I haven't, thankfully, my kids have only been, you know, they've got the common illnesses throughout the school year, but they've never had long-term stuff. And so, I appreciate that and I'm grateful for that. But I sympathize for parents going through that. So it's all about figuring out, working out a plan. And that's why, you know, when you described it as rigid, that has never been the mission and purpose of this program. It has always been a fluid thing, flexible.
Right.
Because at the end of the day, the number one goal is education.
Right.
Now, is education going to have, what I want is the student in school.
Right.
All right? Because they need to be sitting in the chair and learning.
Right.
But if there's something outside of their control that can't keep them in that chair, then we got to figure something else. And the schools have always been very, very good and accommodating. We've always been able to work something out and figure something out.
Right.
Always. Right. Has never been, we've never had a problem where they just said, throw up their hands and go, I don't know, we can't. I mean, because the administrators want the same thing. Everybody wants the same thing.
Absolutely.
So, to answer your question, and if your wife is listening, if she's not,
she's listening.
You better tell her.
Yeah, she's listening because she's picking up my daughter.
Okay. That it is not rigid.
Okay.
We're very flexible.
Okay.
So if the circumstances arises,
yeah,
and you get some grief from the school, you know how to get. I know you call me. I'm not even going to say you know how to get a hold of me. I know you'll call me.
Quick, you'll be the first person I call.
Quick, yes, Mrs. Roundtree. God bless you. I don't know. But anyways. Yeah, we are making sure that that everybody understands the importance of it, but we're doing it in a way that it fits everybody's needs without,
right,
you know, without asking people to go over and above. You know, because,
right,
at the end of, you know, schools, they've got hundreds of kids to deal with.
Right.
But they are willing to, you know, they certainly are willing to help as much as they can, as long as, you know, we don't take advantage of that and we work within the parameters that they can work in and make it work. And that has always been the case, and it has been relatively successful. I mean, as we have shown year after year, you know, we see on average between 450 and 500 families a school year. Mm. We charge less than 10%. I mean, far less than 10%.
Wow.
Of those end up, you know, putting us in the position where we have to make those criminal charge,
right,
decisions. But in the same token, as I always tell people, even after charging. And if you look at the newspaper articles of the three women that were involved,
yeah,
their sentences were deferred to see how they would do. You know, listen.
You're still given another chance.
You're still given an opportunity to make it right. Because, you know, for me, if you do what you're supposed to do, which every parent is supposed to do, I don't need a criminal charge on you. I can dismiss that. I don't have any problem with that.
Right.
But you gotta prove that you're going to do it.
Right.
And if it takes having that hammer over your head,
right,
that's what it takes. You know, just show up for sentence. Just show up for your sentence. It's that simple.
Don't jerk the judge around.
Hey, look, I mean, judges take serious. When they send you that little piece of paper that says, this is the time and date I want you in my courtroom, you better show up. Because, you know, the case doesn't go away when you don't show up. I think, you know, I wonder sometimes if people have the idea that, well, if I don't show up, and yeah, they'll put a warrant on me, but, you know, I'll be all right because eventually everybody will forget about it. No, that stays in the system forever. I've got a file drawer of outstanding warrants, right? And you go back, and there are some pretty raggedy old files still sitting in that drawer.
Oh, wow.
Every once in a while, we'll come across somebody like 1994 warrant gets popped somewhere.
Wow.
Oh,
really?
Yeah. Oh, sure.
And y'all have to deal with it.
Oh, yeah. Because they don't, I mean, they don't get erased. They,
wow.
They're in the system.
They don't just disappear.
Doesn't. Never goes away.
Something you got to deal with.
Muskegon, it never goes away. Just deal with it. You know, and look. And because I've had this happen on occasion where people are nervous, you know, they've got like a traffic thing or something like that, and they got a warrant now, and don't look over your shoulder. To me, and I've done this for a lot of people, call me. We can work it out, really. I can make it less painful. Because I would much rather, I mean, why look over your shoulder for years? You know, or you know, turn a, let's say you got a, you failed to pay on a traffic ticket, so you got a warrant for that, right? Mm-hmm. And then you get into a car, and then, you know, the cops are going to pull you over, and then you decide, you know what, I'm going to outrun the cops. So you turn that misdemeanor into a felony, and then you decide, well, okay, I can't get them in my vehicle, but if I jump out of my car and run, then I'm going to get away from them. So then you add another felony on top of that. Don't do it. Just don't do it.
You had a date. Was it your office or the public defender's office had a day of amnesty or something like that?
Well, we did. We did. You know, back when we were working with, we had started a collections unit, and we created an amnesty day where if people had like a bunch of outstanding fines and costs, or maybe they had warrants associated with not paying fines and costs, mm-hmm. that we were kind of negotiating where, you know, we would take care of the warrant or you'd pay half of your, you know, and then you'd be done with it. And so, you know, we did that in an effort to try to collect some outstanding debt. But it was, it was an amnesty. I think it was like a week or something like that, where you could call in and take care of your business at less than what it was originally ordered. And I think a lot of people took advantage of that. And that's a way for the system to kind of clean itself out a little bit. Because, you know, you can imagine as all these old things stack up and stack up and stack up, I mean, like I said, it never goes away, and, you know, it just becomes kind of a burden. And so, you know, I think every once in a while doing something like that helps kind of get rid of the old and try to get people, you know, give people kind of a clear a clear mind, so to speak, where you're not looking over your shoulder. You're not worried about, you know, this, that, and the other. So, I mean, it, you know, again, if you're out there and you got some warrants or a warrant, as long as it's not something, well, I mean, even if it's something serious, you should take care of it because, again, it's never going away.
It's never going away.
But if you're worried about, you know, because you missed something, you missed a payment or something, you know, give me a call. And we can, you're still going to have to turn yourself in. You're going to have to go through the process. But we can make it a lot more...
less painful.
A lot more palatable. Because I think a lot of people are worried about, well, if I turn myself in, I'm spending, you know, 5 days in jail. Or I'm spending, you know... and I get that. I mean, it's the fear of the unknown. I understand that. But believe me, we have a way of assisting
working
that process.
Stuff out.
Right, right.
And that'll clear up some of the warrants so you don't be looking, you know, like, okay, I got this warrant. And now I got to run from the police.
Right.
When I see him, I can't stop. But at least this way, you'll be able to stop. And I know they're working on in legislators something. And I know everybody has a problem with this driver's responsibility fees.
Right. They're slowly phasing that out.
They're slowly getting that out of here.
Yep.
You know, I wish they would. It's moving like molasses to me, but I wish they would move a lot faster.
Right.
But it's slowly phasing it out. So, you know, hey, if you got a, you know, traffic ticket, you didn't run in red light, run in stop sign, call his office. He's serious about this, you know, call it.
Yeah.
And
listen,
say, hey,
I'm happy to assist.
I'm so-and-so.
Anyway.
And they don't have pay phones, because I know if I was listening to somebody say that to me, they don't have pay phones no more. I'd go to pay phone. Look. My name is Robert Roundtree. I got a speeding ticket. I didn't take care of it.
Yeah.
What can we do about it? Can we work this out over the phone? I understand it. I truly understand it. Now everybody's got cell phones or Obama phones, as they call them, or, you know, they don't have pay phones anymore. I was somewhere, and I was looking for a pay phone because I was trying to show my youngest son what a pay phone was.
Yeah.
I couldn't find one.
Yeah.
I don't know if anybody else knows. Maybe that's just my stupidity, but I was looking around like, where is the payphones nowadays?
I think they've been slowly phased out. I don't think you see payphones anywhere.
I just didn't see one. I'm like, that was a good service when it was 20 cents. Then
sure.
It went to a quarter.
Sure.
Then it went to 50 cents. And I don't know. Last time I used a payphone, I think it was 50 cents.
I can't even tell you the last time I used a payphone. I don't remember. It's been a while.
But I understand, but they can still do that, though, DJ, right?
Sure.
Call your office and make some type of arrangements
sure.
with your staff
yep.
or
yep.
you
yep.
or whoever and stuff
yep.
like that.
We'll help you out.
Yeah. Now, what about, do you guys ever want to clear out your warrants? You know, like warrants that you know, might be warrants. I don't know what's a warrant that's minor. I don't want to call a warrant minor, yeah. But you know, a warrant that
well, yeah.
Somebody needs to clear up, so yeah. It doesn't lead to other stuff.
Yeah, I mean, you know, look, I mean, even if you're out of the ticket realm, and let's say you've got misdemeanor, let's say you get failed to pay on
shoplifting.
Yeah. You failed to pay your fines and costs. Yeah. I mean, that once you start missing those payments, that generates a warrant as well. And look, we're there to help too. I mean, you know, again, I don't need to fill the jail with people who fail to pay on a 93-day misdemeanor. You know, what I need is a commitment that you're going to get a payment plan that you can afford, and you're going to stick to it, and you're going to get it done. I need that commitment, but I don't need to fill the jail with you. I really don't.
Maybe, right.
I'd rather save that space for folks that actually deserve to be incarcerated.
Right.
You know, and you know, sometimes it's a, you know, judges are a pay or stay type sentence where you either pay or you're staying the day's equivalent. Mm-hmm. Okay, I mean, but again, we don't need to fill our jails with those folks,
right?
Yeah, right. So, I do my best. Now, at the end of the day, I don't wear the black robe.
Right.
I can only go down there and say, "Hey, look."
Right.
And if the judge looks at your history and says he hasn't paid a dime since, you know, 2012, hey, listen, that's on you.
Right.
All I can do is, you know, advocate that, you know, you've made a promise to me, and you're going to make a promise to the court that you're going to abide by whatever payment plan they set up for you, and you're going to get it done.
What if a person is homeless and they really can't pay? You know, they're not getting a dime. They're out there raking leaves to just buy deodorant.
Yeah.
You know, have you ever ran across a situation like that and it was truth? It was some validity to it?
Yeah, I mean, you know, in the, you know, the courts, I don't know how the courts handle it. I mean, they handle it differently. Well, I mean, I should say, you know, again, we go back to that pay or stay. I mean, they may make you do a few days in jail just to work off the fine, essentially.
Hmm.
You know, I can't control that. So, you know, it just depends. You know, I've never seen, and maybe the courts do, but do have you do community service in lieu of fines and costs.
Right.
Yeah, so even too. if you don't have a job, or like you said, you're homeless, I mean, there are plenty of nonprofits around here looking for people to do some community service work. Yeah,
right.
And who knows, maybe that spins into something positive.
Right.
Absolutely. If you do a good job.
Spin into a job.
Right. But you gotta, I mean, you gotta treat it like a job.
Right. Show up on time. Work hard. Do what you're supposed to do.
Right.
I absolutely agree with you. Well, if you ain't got anything else, we gotta, because it's almost 6 o'clock.
It is.
So, you got anything else?
No. Me? Hey, listen. I hope this is Roundtree. I hope we cleared that up.
Thank you, DJ, for doing it.
If we didn't, it's your husband's fault.
Thank you for clearing that
You're
up
welcome.
For me, DJ.
You're welcome.
I appreciate it.
My pleasure.
Okay, this is our segment where we go into
do a little football. I have to say, I'm going to be very truthful and honest right now that I'm watching the game with my wife. We're watching the last 5 minutes of the game, the Lions game.
The Lions game.
With my wife. Because she, you know, hey, listen, she's a Lions fan now. So I want to make happy wife, happy life.
Happy life.
So we're watching that, and I watched the Lions score, mm-hmm. right, to go up by six. And then I was shocked when he missed the extra point, and I'll be honest, I'm getting my phone out, I'm getting ready. I got Big Rob up, and I'm getting ready. But I know I've been burned in the past, so.
I've been burned in the past.
And at the time, the Lions were winning, so I mean it wasn't like. Yeah, I was going to get you with anything because, the Lions are winning at that point. They're up by six, but they're winning.
Right.
And then, of course, the Colts go down and, you know, they need to teach the linebackers that the guy usually wearing in the 80s, that those guys that play the line wearing the 80s jerseys, they typically will go out for passes because I think that tight end I'd never heard of before had like a career day. He caught like three touchdowns that day.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it wasn't like it was the first touchdown. It was the third touchdown that put the Colts up by one.
Yeah.
And I thought, here we go. Here it is. 2016, starting out with a bang. Lions shoot themselves in the foot one more time. And they were lucky that the Colts defense fell asleep. And Prater realized, hey, look, it's between the two yellow posts. Not,
yeah, I had to get this ball.
That's right. The ball goes between the posts, not, right, not on the side. It, maybe it was too close for him the first time around. He needed to be 47 yards right back in order to make it good. So, listen, I was happy, you know, certainly to see the Lions win. It's always a nice start to the season.
Oh, yeah.
When you win.
You see, we've been doing this show, what, 3-4 years now?
Oh, yeah, easily.
And you see, this year, I didn't text you. I didn't jump the gun.
All right.
I text DJ, you know, when my Lions is up, his Green Bay Packers are falling all over the place. I'm texting DJ talking all kind of stuff.
Well, we'll wait until the Pack, because the Packer Lions game.
I'm not texting DJ like that no more.
Packer Lions, they're...
You have taught me well.
We got 2 weeks. I think Packers Lions.
Yeah.
So we'll you know, yeah, there might be some smack talk. There might be some smack.
Yeah, we definitely going to talk smack.
But,
Your Packers.
They prevailed. They, you know...
What happened?
I thought that they might punch Jacksonville a little bit more in the mouth, because Jacksonville historically has not been a very good team.
Yeah.
But they played really well. You know, it was interesting watching the game that Jacksonville apparently spent all their money on defense. You know, it showed. I mean, they got some young yeah, defensive players, yeah, that are starting. And they played relatively well, you know, and it really came down to the end on the Packers holding on a fourth and whatever. I mean, they were down there.
Right.
And I think the Packers are only up 6, too. I mean, if Jacksonville had scored, they would have lost.
Right.
So, I mean, it was a big deal. So, I mean, ultimately, they held, and thank goodness.
Were you sitting on the edge of your seat?
I was a little nervous.
Well, I know I kept... You know, I'm like, do I call? I'm like you, then grab my phone. Do I hit DJ up now? No, he didn't talk me. Don't hit him up until it's done. Until there's no more zeros. Did you see Wade, the Lions, when they was playing? Not the Lions, but the, who was they playing? The Colts.
Yeah, the Colts.
Yeah. How they kept throwing the ball back, you know, on that last kickoff.
Yeah.
I'm sitting there, do I hit DJ up now, or no, I gotta wait till these double zeros, because these jokers might make it all the way down.
Listen,
to the
other end. There was a point during that where I think they missed a window of opportunity. Yeah. They went backwards instead of forwards. And I'm going, oh my goodness, are they actually going to score a touchdown?
Man, DJ.
You should have seen me, man. Listen, at that point, I would have taken off everything Lions and burned it, because they are destined not to win.
I'm on the edge of my bed, like, don't let them go. I'm watching the ball. I'm doing one of these numbers back and forth. I'm like, are y'all serious? Do not let these fools get down here. It's ticking.
Yeah.
The clock is ticking. Somebody get that ball. Stop them.
Yeah.
I was nervous. If Prater hadn't made that field goal, it was done. I wasn't watching no more. Because, you know, last year, I didn't watch the Lions at all.
Yeah.
I know.
You gave it up.
I couldn't, because I was like, I don't know. But I said, well, let me see. Let's give them another chance. Let's see what they do. Let's see how they come out.
Right.
Sue's not there anymore.
Right. No Calvin Johnson.
Well, let's see what they do. And they actually won. It was rather shocking.
Right.
I was shocked. Well, maybe I need to watch the Lions again this year. Maybe they're going to lose a few more. I'm quite sure of that. But, you know, because they got relatively, you know, young players there too, I think.
Yeah. Hey, listen, I mean, it you know, I'm just happy that football's up. You know,
oh, yeah.
It's up and running, you know. And, yeah, I mean, we'll just see how it all unfolds throughout the season. I mean, in particular, the rival, you know, they play each other twice a year. So,
right.
So we got one coming up here in September.
Is one coming up in around Thanksgiving?
I think end of September. End of September, and then I don't know when they play them again. I'll have to look and see. But.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I have to look, too, because, I mean, DJ, I swear, I was on the edge of my bed.
I would have been too.
I was like, are you serious? Do not let them people score.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I was, oh, my God. I just didn't understand it. Now, also college.
Yeah.
Your team.
Notre Dame.
Notre Dame.
They struggled against Texas.
Yes.
But then they came back and proved their worth last week. I don't know. It could be a long year for the Golden Domers. We'll see.
Now, which college does your wife like?
Well, she's originally from Iowa, so she is an Iowa Hawkeye fan.
Oh, okay.
Now, Iowa State played. Yeah, it was this weekend they played, and Iowa crushed them, crushed Iowa State.
Are they? I've never really looked at that school.
Well, that's Iowa State and Iowa are the big kind of state rivals. Mm-hmm. So they play each other every year. And, you know, I've got her, she has relatives that sit on both sides of the fence. You know, some are Iowa graduates and some are Iowa State graduates.
Oh, so, okay. You know, so.